Now tonight we come to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we read verses 15 and verse 21. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 and verse 21. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. And in verse 21, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Dear congregation, after speaking of the great prophet, whom we shall consider in a moment, a caution is given against false prophets there in verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And we see there that one that presumed to speak a word in the name of the Lord, according to the Lord's command in those days, was to be put to death. Now, a rule was given for the trial of a false prophet, and that brings us to verse 21 and verse 22. If thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So we see there the rule is given. How important it was for them to discern those who were false prophets and to turn a deaf ear to them. They were not to be followed. Well, as we think of those things in those days, how important it is today that we turn a deaf ear to false teachers, that we do not follow what they are saying. Next Lord's Day morning, we shall consider that we shall know them by their fruits. We need to discern, and we need to turn a deaf ear to such false teachers. But at the same time, we are to be ready to listen to Jesus, who is the great teacher, who we are led to consider here tonight. At the transfiguration of Christ, we're told this in Matthew 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, that was Peter, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We are to listen to him. One is to discern who a false prophet is and turn a deaf ear. At the same time, one is to listen unto Jesus. With this in mind, come back to verse 15 of chapter 18. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Now, if you were to go over to the New Testament, and particularly the third chapter of Acts, verses 20 through to verse 22, you'll see there that Peter applies those words unto Jesus. You know those words in your own time. And so without any hesitation, coming to verse 15 tonight, we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is the prophet, the one raised up by God, the one we are to listen to. Now in verse 18, just to bring this all together, we have what the Lord promised Moses at Mount Sinai. Remember that in verse 18, we have what the Lord promised Moses at Mount Sinai. Back in verse 15, if you follow through the chapter, we have what Moses declares to the people on this occasion concerning the prophet. Well, with these things in mind tonight, let's come directly to these words, particularly in verse 15. And first of all, we shall know Jesus, the prophet that was raised up. Secondly, Jesus, the prophet that was like unto Moses. And then thirdly, Jesus, the prophet that is to be heard. Jesus, the prophet that was raised up. Jesus, the prophet that was like unto Moses. Jesus, the prophet that is to be heard. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Now just notice verse 18. You remember here in verse 18, this is what the Lord promised unto Moses at Mount Sinai. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. You see, he's speaking to Moses. And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Well, here tonight we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet. Now, commonly we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as the prophet, priest, and king. Well, tonight we consider the first office, that he is the prophet. Now, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus said to the two that were walking with him, in Luke 24, verse 17, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? He took note. He was listening to their conversation. And he took note of their sadness. Well, in verse 18 we read, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto them, him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And you see, those two, though they were sad, they were talking of him who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word. You see, Jesus was recognized as an eminent prophet who had come into the world on a great mission, who had done mighty things, and who had spoken in a wonderful and mighty way. They were grieved, they were sad, but they recognized these things. They were thinking of him, the prophet, the superior one. In John chapter 6, verse 14, we read, after the feeding of the 5,000, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And so you see, on the road to Emmaus, they were talking of Jesus the prophet. After the feeding of the 5,000, they recognized that Jesus was the prophet, the long-expected one. There was this recognition that a prophet would come. Why? Because of these words here, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. Well, he came. He was raised up. Now, the Lord was designated to the office of prophet, as well as to the office of king and priest from all eternity. We read in 1 Peter 1, verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So we think then that he was designated to the office of prophet from all eternity. Set aside. He spake through the prophets in the Old Testament era. And spake himself to certain ones, like unto Moses, Acts 7 verse 38. But then in the fullness of time, he was raised up from the midst of the Jews. A prophet from among the Jews was raised up. And so we read in Micah 5 verse 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. He was raised up. This is amazing, isn't it? Verse 15. Not only as an eye to Jesus the prophet, but to his incarnation, and further to his ministry here upon earth. On the road to Emmaus, our Lord would open up the scriptures, and doubtless he would come to Deuteronomy. And he would make himself known. He was raised up. He appeared in this world. He came into this world as a prophet to make known the whole counsel of God. He came into this world as a priest to suffer and die. He came as a king to reign. He was raised up. It's interesting, those words our Lord said to Pilate in John 18, verse 37. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Just consider the scene there. There is Christ. He's the priest. He's offering up himself. He's suffering. He's known as the king. Pilate recognizes that. And he speaks that he came into this world to bear witness, for he is the prophet. We see his threefold office there. He came as a prophet to bear witness unto the truth. He was raised up, and he made known the truth for this before Pilate, not long before he went to the cross. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. Now he, having knowledge of the will of God, was sent to declare it. And so he was referred to as the messenger of the covenant, Malachi 3, verse 1. Well, he came, and he faithfully fulfilled his commission. You recall when he was 12 years of age, he was in the temple teaching the doctors of the law. When Mary and Joseph eventually found him, they questioned him, and Jesus responded to them, Luke 2, verse 49, how is it that you sought me? Was he not that I must be about my father's business? He'd been designated as prophet. He had work to do. He'd been raised up, and so he was there in the temple, faithful, fulfilling the business that had been given to him. At Nazareth in the synagogue, he read from Isaiah 61, where we read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And then in verse 21 we read this, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. There he was, as the prophet, teaching, preaching the gospel. He came and went about doing good, and he declared with such power the truth, and he declared it in such faithfulness. So important was the message. So important was the work he had to do. He must speak to poor sinners. He must do, and so he must be raised up. So important. He had to be raised up. And so I present to you tonight Jesus the prophet, who was raised up to speak to poor sinners. This is the one then that the Jews were to pay attention to. As we note here, this is the one we are to pay attention to. Dear brothers and sisters, every day be like Samuel of old and say this, speak, for thy servant heareth. He will speak to you. He delights to come and dine with you. Lord, speak to me. Knock on the door of my heart if I'm not waiting. Come in, Lord. We're to pay attention to him. He was the one that was raised up. And that speaks volumes. If he was raised up, he had such an important message. We are to listen to him. How important it is to listen to him who is raised up as the prophet. Well, let's move on and consider secondly tonight, Jesus the prophet that was like unto Moses. Jesus the prophet that was like unto Moses. Now just note first of all, verse 18. Remember, this is the words of the Lord unto Moses at Sinai. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Like unto you, Moses. Now when Moses is making this known to the people, we read this in verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Moses humbly presents to the people that the prophet who will come will bear some resemblance to me, be in a similar situation to me. Like unto me. Like unto Moses. Now there's a number of things that could be said here tonight. But we're going to limit ourselves as we think of these words tonight. Jesus the prophet that was like unto Moses. Note those words again. Like unto me. Let's think of the Lord Jesus. He is a mediator. Moses was a mediator. In Deuteronomy 5 verse 5 we read this. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for ye were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount. I stood between the Lord and you at that time. Moses was a typical mediator. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great mediator. Galatians 3 verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. We're thinking of Moses rather still here. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Thinking of Moses. When we think of Moses, let's now think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone satisfied divine justice. He makes effectual intercession and powerfully speaks to men, bringing them unto God. Moses could not do that. No, Moses was a mediator. Only Jesus alone satisfied divine justice. How he powerfully speaks to men and brings them unto God. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Moses here, he thinks of one that will come like unto him. And so we consider Christ as the mediatorial prophet. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a mediator, a prophet rather, a mediatorial prophet. Secondly, as we think of like unto me, as we think of Jesus, he has intimate fellowship with the Father. He has intimate fellowship with the Father. Now notice verse 17. And the Lord said unto me. The Lord spake unto Moses. He spake to him. Now back in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 20 we read this. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. He was called up. And there the Lord would speak unto him. Later on when Moses went out to the tabernacle of the congregation, that special tabernacle which Moses erected where he would meet with the Lord, the Lord came and met him. And we read in chapter 33 of Exodus verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Face to face. There was that closeness of fellowship. That intimate fellowship. One would come like unto me. One who would know such fellowship. Intimate fellowship. We consider Jesus. Moses enjoyed close fellowship, but oh, what Jesus enjoyed and enjoys. What fellowship, what communion. Consider the fellowship from all eternity. Proverbs 8 verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Verse 30, then I was by him, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. In all eternity, before this world was made, such fellowship was known. The Son was daily the delight of the Father, such intimate fellowship, such rejoicing, such joy and gladness, such communion. In all eternity, he was there enjoying sweet communion. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. Moses knew that close fellowship, but oh, Jesus, he knew such close fellowship. Interesting words we have in John 17, verse 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. I have known thee, he says. What knowledge Christ had of the Father. Such fellowship. Moses thinks of one who would come that would bear some resemblance to him. He enjoyed fellowship. But oh Jesus, what fellowship he enjoys now. Such communion. See why he was the fit one to be the prophet. Because he so knew the Father. He was with him. He knows all the truth. And so he made known the whole counsel of God here upon earth. Such fellowship he has now with the Father. How he's talking to the Father. And he's talking to the Father about you. He ever liveth to make intercession. What a thought that is. He brings you, dear child of God, into his conversation with the Father every moment. What a great prophet he is. What a great mediator. He thinks of all his people. And he brings them into his conversation when he talks with the Father. How amazing. I feel my unworthiness, but he speaks of me continually. He brings me in because I am the apple of his eye. He's making intercession at this very moment. He's talking with the Father. What a blessing to have a friend in the court of heaven. One who so knows the Father. One who so has such a fellowship with the Father. One who has that intimate fellowship with the Father. Have you this friend in the court of heaven? Have you heard his voice? Is he speaking to the Father about you at this moment? Thirdly, as we think of Jesus the prophet, like unto Moses, he is faithful. He is faithful. In Hebrews 3 verse 2 we read, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses was faithful. He felt the Lord, but he was faithful. Oh, consider Jesus. Faithful in every area, in every situation. In Revelation 3 verse 14, he is referred to as the faithful and true witness. You see how scripture brings it all together. He's the prophet. He's the true witness. And he's the faithful witness. Consider him. He's faithful. You can trust him then. That's a simple lesson we learn. As we think of Jesus who was like unto Moses, we can trust him because he's faithful. There's no need to doubt one word from the lips of Jesus. What peace that brings to me. The gospel is true. We can take encouragement because Jesus is the faithful one. The promises are true because he's the faithful one. All is well for my soul. He is the faithful one. He will never leave me nor fail me. What a great comfort it is that Jesus was like unto Moses, but in other ways far greater than Moses. So faithful. Fourthly, he is the deliverer of God's people. He is the deliverer of God's people. Now you remember Moses, he was raised up as a deliverer. In Acts 7 verse 35 we read this. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He was raised up to be a deliverer. Now you note those words there, by the hand of the angel. Moses was a deliverer in the hands of the great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn and consider him. He's the great Redeemer. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. He accomplished redemption. In people here tonight, simply, if I could put this simply, he did all that was necessary to redeem. He was holy. He kept the law perfectly. And then he suffered the penalty for the breach of the law in full. He went to the cross. He shed his precious blood. Through what he did, there is deliverance. He is the great Redeemer. Yes, we think of Jesus like unto Moses. Moses was a deliverer. But oh, we think of Jesus so great. He's the great Deliverer. The Redeemer. Have you gone to him? Have you believed? Are you delivered? Fifthly, as we think of Jesus, the prophet, like unto Moses, he was opposed. Acts 7, verse 35. This Moses whom they refused. This Moses whom they refused. In John 1, verse 11, we're told of Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. There were those in the nation that rejected Moses. There were many in the nation that rejected Jesus. It's not nice to be rejected, is it? I used to often be rejected at school, and if they had to have me, they would put me in a certain place where I couldn't be much bother to them. I remember once I was chosen to play cricket, and they didn't really want me, so they put me right out in the field. Hardly any of the balls came that way. I'd be no trouble to them. It's not nice to be rejected, is it? But oh, what it was for Jesus, the spotless one, to be rejected. Psalm 69, verse 8. Listen to the Lord through the psalmist. I am become a stranger unto my brethren. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I am become a stranger unto my brethren. Isaiah 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So many opposed him, and so many oppose him today. Think of many in the nation that opposed Moses. Think of many of the Jews that opposed Jesus whilst he was here. Many of the Jews do today, and many in this nation. What about you? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the right, or the privilege in the Greek, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you heard his voice? Have you received him by faith? And do you now know fellowship with him? Once opposed, but now received and delighted in. Sixthly, as we think of Jesus the prophet, like unto Moses, sixthly, he is meek. What do we read in Numbers 12, verse 3 of Moses? Now the man Moses was very meek, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He was very meek. Now let me say, he wasn't perfect. But he was known for being very meek. You know those that are meek? They're not easily provoked. They're humble. There's a pleasantness. There's a great kindness. Often one smiles. There's a meekness. You know those who are not meek. I used to have a teacher, I won't name her, that wouldn't be fair. She never came across as meek, but rather aggressive. And us boys would give her a wide berth, and I can recall to this day, I heard her shouting down the corridor. And I saw her coming, so I looked at the ground, and I was so relieved when she passed by. She wasn't meek, and us boys knew it. We knew how she could shout, and we knew how she could still give the cane if she wanted to. But oh, think of Moses. He was very meek. There was something about Moses that drew people to him, that made people think he's so approachable. But oh, consider Jesus. Reverend John Brown of Haddington writes, Moses was very meek, but Jesus Christ is infinitely more so. So meek. What did he say himself in Matthew 11, verse 29? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's interesting there, isn't it? We think particularly of his office of prophet there. And he is the meek one. Learn of me, sister prophet Jesus. And we have this characteristic. I am meek, and then I am lowly. This word meek, gentle, mild. Oh, what I have discovered in Jesus. So very meek. He's approachable. He's never turned me away. You know, you can approach somebody who's meek. If they're stern and aggressive, you keep your distance, don't you? Jesus, so meek he is to me. Unto him I go, so meek. I am meek, says Jesus, gentle, mild. How he deals with his people. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. How he so gently leads. He doesn't put on us more than we can bear. He gently leads. He's so meek. How he speaks to our souls. How he has refreshed us and helped us. Even when he's rebuked us, we still come and say he's so meek. How he spoke to us in love. How he speaks. The officers that came to take Jesus, they couldn't take him. And they went back to those that had asked them to go and get him. And they said this, never man spake like this man. John 7 verse 46. There was something so noted about the words from the lips of Jesus. Have you discovered that meekness in Jesus? You know, so many, they're on the Broadway. They don't know the meekness of Jesus. If they really knew what Jesus was like, they run to him tonight. Oh, such a saviour. So meek. Have you learnt from him? Oh, consider Christ then. Dear child of God, aim to be more like Jesus. Well, Jesus the prophet that was like unto Moses. Well, in closing tonight, Jesus the prophet that is to be heard. Jesus the prophet that is to be heard. Notice verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. Remember again at the transfiguration of Christ, there came this voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I think back, he was raised up. And the Father says, of this one, hear ye him. Hear him. Now in verse 19, we have words of warning to those that will not hearken unto him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. God will act in judgment towards those that despise his word throughout their lives. There is that warning. Remember those words in Psalm 2 verse 12. Kiss the Son. Embrace him. Love him. Believe in him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. Words of warning. Oh, kiss him. Listen to him. What does he say in Matthew 11 verse 28? Come unto me, O ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Think of one staggering on, they're so burdened. Is it you tonight? Jesus says, come. Come unto me, ye shall find rest unto your souls. Come and learn. Listen, dear child of God, to Jesus. Blessed was the time when I heard my Saviour's voice. Oh, that many in this country would listen to Jesus. Are you listening? He says, learn of me. Are you often going to Jesus? I love that scene recorded for us in Luke chapter 8, verses 38 and verse 39. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. He entered into a village, and there Mary was found at his feet. He comes to the places you live in. Are you found at his feet? Are you there, humbly looking up to Jesus, listening to him? Young people, children here tonight, it's good for you to learn. It's good for you to listen to your teachers, but listen most of all to Jesus. He invites you, learn of me. You learn of me, he says, because I'm meek and lowly. I'm meek. I will so speak to you in a gracious way. I will do you good. I will lead you on gently. You learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Are you at the feet of Jesus, listening to him? Thomas Watson wrote, he is the best teacher. He's the prophet, the one raised up. He has such knowledge of the Father, and he presents it to us through the word. He's the best teacher, the greatest teacher. He speaks through his word and in the heart through the Holy Spirit. Has the Holy Spirit taken the word and applied it within? We who love the Lord, how important it is to pray that the Holy Spirit would take the word. Because through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Lord speaks to us through the word. Quench not the Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit. For the Lord will speak to me and to you through his word, through the Spirit. Are you listening? Are you listening to him? Have you heard his voice tonight? I am meek and lowly. I'm listening, Lord. I want to learn more from thee. I want to discover more of thy meekness, more of thy lowliness. I want to learn so much more. O precious Saviour. Pray that the Lord would teach you. Those precious words in Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Show me, Lord. I've been shown a lot. I've learned many things, but show me again. Teach me, Lord, thy paths. So that my little feet go down the right way. I'm waiting on thee all the day. You know, we've got many things to attend to, lawful things, but try just to pause every so often and think of Jesus. Be waiting upon him. Lord, I'm looking to thee for an answer through thy word. Speak to me. Be it your great concern to hear Jesus the prophet. How his word is so effectual. How he speaks to the soul. You can say, as we see in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 8, the voice of my beloved. He's the beloved, isn't he? How do you know if you love Christ? Well, here's one thing or marks. He's beloved to you. You love him above anyone else. He's the beloved of your soul. What a blessing it is when you hear his voice. I love to hear my wife's voice every day. She's my beloved. But oh, I love to hear the beloved's voice. I want to hear it more. So I must be going like Mary to the feet of Jesus. I must go to the Bible each day. I must come to those occasions of public worship because I want to hear the beloved of my soul who was raised up for me, who came and made known the gospel to me. Jesus says, learn of me. He's the great prophet. He has such a wonderful message.